Good day, citizens of the free world, from border to border, coast to coast, and to all the ships at sea, I bring you a warm welcome. This is your correspondent, Jim Tate, and thank you for tuning in to the Tate Chronicles. Join me as we cut through the fog that exists at the leading edge of healthcare technology. Our mission is simple. We're searching for beneficial disruption in healthcare from emerging technologies. My guest today is Lynn Carroll. Lynn is the Chief of Strategy and Operations at HS Blocks. HS Blocks offers blockchain-enabled solutions for value-based reimbursement and alternative payment models, patient permission data, and analytics in the healthcare ecosystem. I had the pleasure of watching Lynn do a presentation at the recent HIMSS conference in Orlando on some of these issues, and we had a follow-up conversation there, and I've really been looking forward to further discussion. So, Lynn, thanks for joining us today.
Jim, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. First, I always like to know a little bit about everybody's background. So tell me a little bit about your background and what led you to your interest in blockchain or distributed ledger technology, as some folks like to call it.
Sure. Thanks, Jim. So my background, I often tell folks, you know, I've been in healthcare almost 30 years, and then when I actually check, I have been in healthcare for 30 years. And so I started my career at a provider-sponsored health plan where I was involved in risk-based contracts as well as global reimbursement types of programs. And as you know, in the current environment within healthcare, the push toward value-based programs as well as population health programs and initiatives is near and dear to my heart and my background. And as I had started to look at different ways to administer alternative payments, different types of engagement programs over the last 3 to 4 years, I took an interest in distributed ledger technology primarily because of the concept of a shared ledger amongst stakeholders to things like risk-based contracts and population health and patient engagement initiatives was interesting because of the ability to eliminate a lot of the back and forth reconciliation and spreadsheet types of jockeying that go on in administering these programs. And so from my perspective, I felt that distributed ledger technology had significant promise in the automation of those types of programs as well as dissemination of information in a private and permissioned manner.
And so the company, HS Blocks, and that's HSBLOX.com if you want to look it up online, was it formed to take advantage of blockchain functionality, or was it already in existence and kind of pivoted once this technology came on board?
Yeah, so I think it's a great question. The company was formed in January of 2017, and it was the product of a couple exits in the technical space. The company's technical resources had an exit in production blockchain in the shareholder communications space within FinTech. And then a number of our folks on the business side here had exits in healthcare technology, payment space, patient engagement, and point-of-sale technologies. And so my relationship with Rahul Sharma, who is our CEO, we had been talking over the last 3 to 4 years when I started to take an interest in DLT about maybe doing something together. And so what we decided is that with our experience both in healthcare value-based ecosystem as well as on the fintech side with implementing distributed ledger blockchain technology, that it was a good opportunity for us to bring that technology forth into the healthcare space for different types of programs that needed or could benefit from the technology. And so as you mentioned, you know, we are focused in the value-based and population health area primarily because there are multiple stakeholders that we believe need a shared view of the patient. And so that's where the shared ledger concept comes in across the continuum of care. The second major area for us that we felt we could provide value was in what we refer to as patient permission data. The concept being to further integrate the patient at the center of the ecosystem and address the different needs for transparency as well as opportunities for patient self-management. So when we think about things like Internet of Things and device-generated data that needs to be aggregated and implemented and integrated into the patient medical record on a longitudinal basis, those are some of the things that we find interest in. And then certainly, as you mentioned, we do machine learning approaches with historical data to do some predictive analysis that allows us to take the exhaust of those outputs from the analysis and distribute that information on a permission basis using distributed ledger.
One thing that I've noticed that's kind of fascinated me, Lynn, is the trajectory of new technologies. And so I guess the initial block was mined on the public Bitcoin blockchain just over 10 years ago. And then we had all that crypto business that's still going on somewhat, I guess. Maybe a year or 2 years ago, some serious interest began in finding use cases for blockchain technology, kind of like you're talking about, that leverage the fundamental strengths of blockchain, the distributed ledger, immutability, permission access, different things that really are the underlying strengths there. And it looks like to me that the, and I guess this is a long way to ask you, where you think we are in the trajectory or the rollout of blockchain, where I spent a few years searching for use cases, and there were certainly a lot of trials and attempts to get things going. Is 2019 and 2020 going to be when the rubber hits the road and we see fully scaled up use cases going with blockchain technology?
Yeah, sure, Jim. You know, I think it's a good question. You know, as you mentioned, there's been a lot of, you know, hype about blockchain across industries and certainly in healthcare. And, you know, fundamentally, most folks have been familiar with blockchain from a cryptocurrency standpoint, Bitcoin, as you mentioned. But the fundamental underlying technology of distributed ledger and the concept of creating trust in the data as well as transparency amongst stakeholders, I think is where the real value is in an industry like healthcare. As you and the listeners probably know, healthcare has traditionally been a fairly slow-moving industry with regard to adoption of some of these types of technology, and probably rightly so in some ways. I think what we're seeing is a movement from the last couple of years, folks identifying use cases and doing some proof of concept in lab type experiments to understand the value points and understand how to deploy the technology in a manner that it can empower patients, providers, and the ecosystem at large. And I think what we're seeing now in the next couple years is those use cases moving out of the proof of concept and into what we would refer here at HS Blocks to what we think of as microcosms. And so we don't think of blockchain or DLT making a big bang overnight in healthcare. We just don't see that being a possibility. But what we do see is microcosms of payer-provider patient connectivity in cities or hubs like Atlanta, for example, where we're located, where different constituents and stakeholders can come together and start to realize the benefits of distributed ledger technology in a, you know, a microcosm of production reality. It would be a way of looking at it. We also sort of see that as those microcosms come into fruition, that things will continue to accelerate over the next probably 3 to 5 years. And then a longer-term view of ours is that there will be pervasive adoption of use cases within healthcare over the next 8 to 10 years. So from a timing standpoint, I think we're starting to see real production application of the promise of the technology.
You know, that's one thing I saw a couple of weeks ago, and I imagine you saw it also, Lynn, at HIMSS. There's starting to be, not groupthink, but the different organizations, associations that are involved with blockchain potential are starting to come to some common agreements. We're in a very collaborative stage. We've got the Ethereum Association. We've got Consensus. We've got Hyperledger. We've got all these organizations out there. Trying not to tighten down too much on the what-ifs or standards too early. Certainly there have to be some standards, but there's a lot of things being worked out right now over the next year or so, it appears to me. And I kind of wonder, when y'all were at HS Blocks, were looking for your foundational platform, blockchain platform, did you look at a number of different ones? Are you using Ethereum? Or, I mean, what's your platform that you're working in?
Yeah, so, our solutions to date have leveraged the Corda platform from R3, and we are a premier member of the Corda healthcare community with R3. But we also are, platform agnostic in the fact that we have significant experience and had a production exit on Hyperledger Fabric from IBM in the fintech space. And so, our plans longer term will be to probably support multiple protocols with regard to the blockchain and DLT side of things. But our healthcare applications to date are built on DLT from the Corda platform from R3.
Absolutely. And they're certainly one of the big players in this space. 3 years ago, we didn't have these, I guess, for lack of a better word, front runners or maybe established platforms that people could work on top of. And we have those. And now, and that's certainly necessary to really get those use cases out there. For the first time at HIMSS, I also saw some companies which were offering blockchain as a service. I don't know if you saw any of those folks, to try and make it a little bit easier to come in and do a test case, full stack blockchain as a service. So we're starting to see maybe a lower threshold for folks who have ideas about what might work to jump in and experiment and do some trials.
Well, and, from our perspective, that's actually the approach we took. So we're a heavy design-oriented organization, and so we built our architecture from the bottom up and built our platform first, and then we built our microservices on top of that, and then we built applications. And so we are not only a platform provider, but we're a solution provider as well. We're often asked that question. When we have dialogue with folks, are you a platform? Are you a solution provider? And the answer is both. And the reason being that from an architectural standpoint, we wanted to have a rock solid foundation to then build our applications on. That being said, we also, when are approached with appropriate use cases that make sense for our expertise, our ability to add value, we have done programs where it may not be solution specific to what we have built from a solution side. And in fact, we just finished a production pilot with a clinical research organization that led to a commercialization of our digital sample manager product in the clinical trial space for tracking of human biological samples. And so I think you're correct in the fact that there are a lot of opportunities for folks who maybe have identified a use case that makes sense within their organization, but maybe aren't DLT or blockchain experts, or want to kind of understand, can it create the value that they believe? So there are opportunities for those platform service providers as well as organizations like us to provide opportunity for them to try those use cases.
You know, Lynn, you mentioned this, the tracking of these, I guess, biological samples, I believe you said, for these for clinical trials. So what you're looking at there, if I'm correct, is something like a blockchain-based supply chain process?
Yeah, so I'm looking at it as a track and trace approach to chain of custody. In this case, the use case is human biological samples in the clinical trial vertical. But certainly a lot of good blockchain use cases involve, event-driven scenarios that are, track and trace in nature and are relying on the ability to identify provenance of data as well as understand the reliability of that data from a ability to trust the data, even if I maybe don't trust all of the stakeholders in a chain. And so the shared ledger provides ability to create trust in the data.
You know, I think the whole, one could build a career just around distributed ledger technology and supply chain and provenance right there. There's so much potential right there. And I believe recently, I'm thinking it was Walmart has undertaken a trial to be able to track some of their produce. Are you aware of that? Is that what it is? It's a trial to do with produce. And I remember, maybe 6 months or a year ago when there was some issue with E. coli and romaine lettuce. So the CDC said nobody buy any romaine lettuce in the entire country. Because they really didn't know where it was coming from. And so the idea that you could, as you say, track and trace a bad apple back to the tree it came from, so to speak, that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it is. And I think, one of the, questions you're often asked about DLT technology is, why DLT, right? And so, versus a centralized type of an approach. And, of course, by definition, DLT and blockchain technologies are a network model where there's no centralized authority. And the benefit is that by having a shared ledger, everyone has the same information at the same time, and that gives the ability to verify the reliability of the information and not have to worry about it being changed by a central authority or data being destroyed from a centralized, approach. And so I think that the, ability to trust the data, trust sourcing, like we've talked about, and be able to understand from a, elimination of reconciliation or elimination of differences where your system, Jim, says one thing and mine says another, which creates overhead and ability for folks to have to expend resources to understand and reconcile transactions is eliminated as you start to move forward with the deployment of distributed ledger network approaches.
A lot of the work that we see now in this area, Lynn, has to do with established processes like supply chain or provider credentialing and using distributed ledger technology to make those processes more efficient and remove some of the steps. There are also quite a few folks out there trying to work on not existing use cases, but new use cases in healthcare. Don't know how they're going to take off, where they're going to go, but such things as having patients be able to monetize their own health records or genomic data with token-based systems. There are a number of companies that, because of technology, are able to come up with new use cases. So it's going to be fascinating to see the creativity that comes out around new things, not just improving old things.
Sure. And from our perspective, we would say that we have identified some of those types of applications as well. One of the things that we are particularly interested in is what we refer to as patient permission data. And what we really are talking about there is the ability to further integrate the patient into the ecosystem. One of our beliefs is that too much of the healthcare data dissemination is actually obfuscated from the patient. And so our belief is that by incorporating IoT data off of medical devices and disseminating that information with patient consent as part of things like telehealth visits, population health interventions, and creations of longitudinal health records are, you know, really promising. And they're promising in the fact that from a patient-centric view, if the idea is to further engage a patient and ultimately create opportunities for self-management, patient needs more information and needs that information in real time. And so, you know, Seema Verma actually commented at HIMSS last, or I guess it's 2 weeks ago now at this point, about the need to free up patient information and get it into the patient's hands. And I think when you look at the ability for, you know, a patient to be at the center of the ecosystem, be able to aggregate data, incorporate social determinant of health information, and then allow that to be used on a permission basis, there is opportunity with patient consent for patients to provide a more holistic view of their current situation and work with caregivers for appropriate course of treatment. And so I think that we see DLT being a good component of that approach because of the ability to control permissioning and access to that data.
You know, I've got a kind of a one-off question I want to ask you, Lynn. There's been so much in the media about Bitcoin and now about blockchain that it's really seeped into the common vernacular. And I often encounter people that say, well, what is blockchain? Now, they don't ask me what email is or what internet is because they just use it. And they don't need to know the technical things about it. But they've heard enough about blockchain that they ask, well, what is blockchain and why does it matter? And so if you have one of your friends you haven't heard from in 20 years or 30 years from high school sending an email saying, what's the big deal about blockchain, how do you respond to somebody like that?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. It comes up all the time, too. You know, what I try to emphasize when I talk about blockchain is the concept of each of us having our own data. And so Jim's got data, Lynn's got data, and, you know, Sally has data. And what typically is the case is even though we might have participated in the same transaction with each other, maybe we're all seeing the same patient as part of the continuum of care, as an example, but we may have different records or different views of what actually occurred around a transaction. Then what I typically talk with folks about is what if we each had the exact same record? So we were sharing a common record or a common ledger of patient data in the example we're talking about here. Then what happens is there isn't the back and forth of, you know, he said, she said, what is the correct position of this transaction? Has it been executed or not? Is this information, you know, something that we can rely on? When we have codified business rules about how we want to interact with each other, then we have the ability to have a shared ledger that allows us to see the same thing and also allows us to take advantage of the fact that we may be using disparate systems, different enterprise systems, and while we want to have provenance over our own data, we do know that we need to connect with each other to conduct business. And when we do that, if we use a shared ledger approach, everyone's record is the same. And so while we still have off-ledger information in our enterprise systems that we may mix that shared data from each other with, we know a common ledger or a common position amongst ourselves using a distributed approach. And so, you know, from our perspective, The other primary advantage that the participants, and we've got three that I've cited in this example, have is that we can automate business processes using what are referred to as smart contracts, which are simply computer code that has been implemented on our distributed ledger network that allow us to share information with each other, enforce agreed-upon business rules, and enable us to automate different processes amongst ourselves. And so I try to talk more about the fact that we are our own individual entities, but we have reason to conduct business, and we want to conduct business without the overhead of your system says one thing and mine says another. So I hope that's helpful.
You know, it is, and Lynn, you've convinced me. that's a great explanation. We're almost out of time. How can someone find out more about HSBlocks, which is HSBlox.com? I guess they can go there, but how can they contact you? Is your email or contact or LinkedIn information there?
Yeah, so I think the best way to find out about us certainly is go to HSBlocks.com. Check out our newsroom articles there where you'll see where we have either commented on, written bylines, or done other comments on the blockchain in healthcare evolution. And then certainly on LinkedIn, members of our team are often publishing on LinkedIn and talking about what's going on in the ecosystem. We recently also published a white paper, which is available through our website about our work in the clinical trial space, and that I think that paper gives a good overview of some of the advantages of distributed ledger technology. The use case happens to be human biological sample tracking, but I think the paper provides a lot of information about advantages of DLT in general.
Well, great. That's very helpful. We're totally out of time, and so I would like to thank our audience for joining us on this episode of Tate Chronicles. I offer a special salute to my guest, Lynn Carroll of HSBlocks. Lynn, thanks for coming aboard today.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and the audience.
You can find more information on this show's program page at healthcarenowradio.com. Until we meet again, here's wishing you smooth sailing and safe harbors.